Today's Shir Masechta Yuma Daf Tezayin. We will begin on Daf Tezvov Amabeis, 12 lines from the bottom, Tanan Hossam. Rashi, in introducing the sugya that we are about to Mitzvashem begin to learn, actually says that this sugya that we're about to learn is really not connected to Masechta Yuma. However, he said, because as we learned on Daf Yudalad Amabeis, the Gemara asked a stira between the Mishnah Masechta the Tamid and Mishnah Masechta the Yuma, and the Gemara said that the Mishnah Masechta the Yuma follows the opinion of Rav Shimon Ish HaMitzvah, and the Gemara explained that since the Mishnah Masechta the Tamid follow one Tana, so too we say all the Stam Mishnah follow one Tana. So now the Gemara wants to bring another place where we find that the Gemara wants to establish that all of the Mishnayos are following one Tana. As we're going to see, the Gemara wants to suggest that the Mishnayos that we're about to start learning in Masechta Tamid follow the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Tanan Hossam, the Mishnah says in Masechta Tamid Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel, Amalhem Hamamuna, the Skan Kain Godel. According to Rashi, the Mamuna that we're speaking about here is the Skan Kain Godel. Tosfos disagrees, and he says that the Gemara Masechta Yerushalmi mentions the various activities that the Mamuna did, and it doesn't mention that the Skan Kain Godel did, and this is not included. What we're learning in our Gemara is not included there. The fact that it's not included there is an indication, says Tosfos, that the Mamuna is not the Skan Kohen Gadol, but rather there were two different individuals. There was a Mamuna and there was a Skan Kohen Gadol. There were two different people were doing different jobs. Says the Gemara, Amla Mamuna, so the Mamuna would tell all the other Kahanim who, as we've learned, there was a geirel. There was a lottery done every day. Who should get which job? So to ones that had the schus to bring the karmatam to shachar, he would tell them, tzuviviu tle, go bring a sheep, milishka spesa tloim. From the place where they kept the animals, we know that all animals that were used as kabonis in the Beis HaMikdash were not allowed to be balimum. All the animals that were used had to be inspected for 4 days before they were able to be used. And there was a special place where those animals were kept. And he told them, bring the animal that's going to be used for the carbon tamid from that lishkas beis ha-tloim. Says the Gemara, valoi lishkas ha-tloim. So the Mishnah over there explains, where was the lishkas ha-tloim? Hoysa b'mektsoyat sfoinis marovis. There was a large room. The large room was called the base Hamoikid, that's where they had a large fire, as we will discuss. And in that large room, there were four chambers. Achab Abalashkas Hayisham, there were four different chambers there. Achas Lishkas Atloim, as we just mentioned, where they kept the animals. Achas Lishkas Hachetzomis. We know that when somebody brought a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, they brought with it Nesachim, oil and wine and flour. And there was the way, as we learned in Masechta Shkalim, there was a system where somebody would pay for these different nesachim that they needed. And we know that the Torah says, based on the animal that is used as the carbon, that determines the amount of nesachim you need to bring. So there were different tickets you could buy for different types of nesachim. And you would buy a ticket, and then go with that ticket and to the person who provided the nesachim, provided the ingredients, and you got all the ingredients. And as we've learned, as I said, there were different tickets for the different size of animal. They also did it in this system where it wasn't just all done by one individual. You bought the ticket from one individual. You got the actual ingredients from a different individual, because they wanted to make sure that everything that was done in the Beis HaMikdash was done properly, and there was all the finances were all perfect, and that's why they had more than one person involved. Furthermore, the Rishonim explained, they did not want that people should bring these ingredients from home, because these ingredients that we just mentioned all could become tamei, and of course something which is tamei may not be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. So in order to make sure that all the ingredients that were used in the Beis HaMikdash, they would supply the ingredients, of course pay for them, in the Beis HaMikdash itself. V'achad Lishkas Beis HaMikid. And then there was another room called the Lishkas Beis HaMikid. So we're really two places called the Lishkas Beis HaMikid. And the Ravid explains that the Beis HaMikid is where the fire was. The Lishkat Beis HaMikid is where they had various utensils and tools that they needed to maintain the fire. Another pshat that the Rosh suggests is that the Lishkat Beis HaMikid was where they had a small fire from which they took the fire to the big fire. We know that the halach is that even though the Eish, the fire came down in a Shemaim on the Mizbeach, mitzvah lahavi min ahedjet, they have to also contribute by having our fire made. And therefore, they brought fire from this Lishkat Beis HaMikid. And as I saw the Ritva, quoting Rabbeinu Chananel, he says there were actually two fires. There was the large fire, which is the Lishkat Beis HaMikid, because all of the floor in the Beis HaMikdash and the Azara were all made out of stone, made out of marble, and they were very cold, and the Kohanim needed to walk barefoot, and they would get cold. So if they wanted to warm themselves up, they went into the Lishkat Beis HaMikid, which is the larger room with a fire, where they would be able to warm themselves up. And then there was another Lishkat that had the smaller fire. The purpose of that smaller fire was, as we just said, to be used to bring fire to the Mizbeach. V'echad, Lishkat Shoisim by Lechem Aponim. Then there was another Lishkat where they prepared with a base garmu, made the Lechem Aponim. So we learned in this Mishnah that there were four, that in the Beis HaMikid they had these four changers. Ask the Gemara of Rimini. This is the Mishnah Masechta Tamid. But ask the Gemara, there's a Mishnah Masechta Tamid that says, Arba Lishkois Hoyle Beis HaMikid. The Beis HaMikid had four chambers. Ki Kitonios HaPsuchel Traklin. Just like you have a large room that has small rooms opening up to the large room. Shtayim Hayim B'Kodesh. Two of those rooms were built in a place which is Kodesh. V'Shtayim B'Choyel. And two were built in a place that don't have the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. And it's a very big machlokes Rishonim in understanding this Gemara, exactly what does the Gemara mean. Doesn't mean that these Lishkas that we're speaking about here were built in the Beis HaMikdash itself, that just two are Kodesh and two are not Kodesh, or the Rosh, that's the opinion of the Rambam. The Rosh's opinion is that they were built outside of that room. And says the Gemara, Roshei Pispasin, there were pieces of wood that were erected there as a mechitza, maftilin, to be a way to determine ben kodesh l'choil. Where is kodesh and when is choil? Maya mishamshois. And what was the purpose of these changes? Chambers, said the Mishkan, says the Mishnah. Maravas deroim is the southwest corner. He isolishkas to light carbon. That's where they kept the animals that we discussed before. Deroim is mizrachis. The southeast corner, he lishka shoy bais nas lechem upon him. That's where Beis Garma made the lechem upon him. Mizrachis sofinus, the northeast corner, by Gonza Beis Chashmenoi Avne Mizbeach. That's where the Chashmenoim took the stones of the Mizbeach. Sheshiksa Malchi Yavim, that when the Greeks entered the Beis HaMikdash and they defiled those stones, that's where they were left. Tzvainis Maravis, the northwest corner, by a yard and a basic fill-up, if a Kayan, as he was sleeping, Chas V'Shalom had an emission of Kerry, he's not allowed to obviously enter the Beis HaMikdash because he's Tamei. So he would walk down this chamber to the tunnels that were under the Beis HaMikdash. The tunnels that were under the Beis HaMikdash, The Gemara says in many places, Mechilois loy neskachu, didn't have any kedusha. So the fact that the kohen was tamei did not prevent him from being able to walk in that area. And like that, he went to the mikveh, to the Beis HaTfila, to become tor. So here we have a stira. In this Mishnah, it says that the Lishkus HaTloyim was on the southwest corner. The Mishnah, Masechet Tamid, says it was on the northwest corner. Al-Gemar just said that there was one of the Lishkus, but Gunzer Bei Chashmonoi Avni Mizbeach Sheshok Tzumalchi Oiv D'Kachovim. So Mepharshim ask, why were they specifically left there in the Beis HaMikdash? We know that you have Sheamus or Sefer Torah that's no longer usable. We bury it in a Beis HaKfaris. We bury it next to a Talmud Chacham. Why over here do we find that they were put in this place? So he says that the Taz Paskins, there's a difference when something is usable or no longer usable. He says that the Taz says that something that's still usable should not be buried. And here, even though these stones cannot be used for the Mizbeach anymore, because the Torah says Avonim Shlemus, and these stones were no longer Avonim Shlemus, but they could be used to build a Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaMedrash. And therefore, since they weren't totally not usable, they were not buried in a cemetery, they were left in this place. Degor Smosh has a different approach. He says the reason they were buried over here was to serve as a constant reminder what the Yevonim attempted to do to us and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. The Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah asks that there's a rule, Ein Odom Doim Oysa Dovish Ein Shaloi. Somebody cannot make something that he doesn't own Osir. So the question is, how could they have said that the Mizbeach is possible? How could the Yevonim have made that the Mizbeach is no longer on the Kedusha? It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to Hegdish. And we just said that the halacha is, Ein Adam Oysa Dovish Ein Shaloi. So the answer the Gemara suggests, that since the Pasuk says expressly, Uvorbo Pritzav Chalalua, that the Yevonim had the ability to defile, yes, normally they don't have the ability to defile something. But here, the Pasuk says that they had that ability, and that's why it became Mechulal, became Pasul, and it had to be buried. The Rashi goes a step further. He says, as soon as the Yevonim entered the Heichel, they made everything that in the Heichel no longer have the Kedusha. And then they took these stones and they worshipped Avodah Zarah. They treated them like an Avodah Zarah, and therefore they were no longer able to be used for a Mizbeach, and that's why they had to be put away. So as we mentioned, we have here a stira between the Mishnah Masechet the Tamid and the Mishnah Masechet the Midas. Amar Rav Huna, so as we said at the beginning of the shir, the purpose of today's shir is to show how a series of Mishnayos in the Masechta follows the opinion of one Tana. So it says, the Tana of the Mishnayos Masechta Midas, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, are all following his opinion. His opinion is that the Lishkus HaTloyim was Marovas Deramis. Masechta Talmud was taught by a different Tana, and that Tana held that the Lishkus Tloim was Marovis Tzfoinus. So I saw that the Ritva asks, we already established that the Mishnayos and Masechet Midas are the opinion of Shimon Ish HaMitzvah. So why don't we say that just like the other Mishnayos in Masechet Midas we said follow the opinion of Shimon Ish HaMitzvah, we should say that these Mishnayos, this Mishnah that we're talking about in today's Shir again, is talking about Shimon Ish HaMitzvah. Why are we introducing Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? So the Ritva says, Rav Shimon Ish HaMitzvah didn't refer to all the issues that are mentioned in Masechet Midas. We find, says the Ritva, that Rav Shimon Ish HaMitzvah specified his opinions regarding the Seder, regarding the order of how the Kabbanos were brought. We don't find that Rav Shimon Ish HaMitzvah speaks about the structure and the size and the place of the different things in the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaMikdash compound. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, we do find comments and has opinions regarding the way the Beis HaMikdash was built. And that's why the Gemara is attributing these Stam Mishnayos to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and not to Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah. The Tanan, as we see that Masechta Midos follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Mishnah says Masechta Midos, Ezra's Nashim, the Ezra's Nashim in the Beis HaMikdash, Haisa Oirich, Mei V'Shloshim V'Chamish, its length was 135 Amos. That means in the direction of Mizrach to Maariv. Al-Roichiv, on a width, that means in the direction from Tzafon to Darim, from north to south, Mei Mishlash V'Chamish, also by 135, a square. V'Abel in the Azara, in the four corners of the Azara, there were four chambers. U'Mahayim Mishamshes, and the Gemara says, what was the purpose of those chambers? B'Droimus Mizrachis, that was the Lishkas and Nazirim. Shesham Nazirim, the Nazir, as he completes his Naziris, has to bring a Karban Shlamim, and the Karban Shlamim has to be cooked. That's where they would cook the Karban Shlamim. Umagalchim Sarayim, Sarim, and they would cut their hair, and the hair was thrown, Meshalchim Tach Sadud, it was thrown under the pot where they were cooking the Karban Shlamim. Mizrachit Safonis, he also lishkas dira etzim. That was the place where they kept the wood. Shesham kohanim bali mumim. Even though normally, of course, a kohen was about mum, may not do the avoida, but something which is not considered an avoida, the kohen may do. So the kohanim who were unfortunately bali mumim and were therefore disqualified from doing the avoida, there was a special place where they kept the wood. And they would be oimdim maslim eitzim, that they would examine the wood if it was wormy, because wormy wood obviously may not be used for carbon, and they would remove them and check them, etc. So call HCH by Talas, if there's a worm in the wood, Pasul Gabim Mizbeach, it's disqualified being able to put on the Mizbeach. Tzvainis Merovis, he also lishkas Mitzuroim. That's where the Mitzuroim used to go, and the Tyra teaches us in Parashas Metzora that what is the process of a Metzora who Baruch Hashem becomes Tahor. After the Kohen says he's Tahor, he has to have Mayim Chayim applied to him. He has to shave his hair and he has to go to the mikveh. And then after 7 days, he has to again have another Taglachas and go to the mikveh. But even though he did these two procedures, he's still considered Mechusa Kippurim, and he's not allowed to enter the Ezras Yisrael until he brings the Kabonis. The Mitzayra had to bring a Keves La'asham, a Kivsa La'chatas, and a Keves La'oila, and a Loig Shemen. After they shechted the Karban Asham, the Mitzayra would put his head into the Ezras Yisrael, and the Kayan would put from the oil that he just brought on his right earlobe, and then on his right thumb, and on his right toe, and then the rest of it, of the oil, would be put on the head of the Metzora. Even though, as we learned, the Metzora already went to the mikveh twice, and we just learned, based on that, he was allowed to stick part of his body into the Ezra Yisrael for the different applications that we just discussed. But since we have to be concerned that we want to let him come into the Azara, he may not be 100% tar. Chazal said that he should go to the mikveh again. And the place that he went, they had a mikveh here in the Lishkas Mitzrayim. That's where he went to the mikveh. He also Lishkas Mitzrayim. Says the Mishnah further, my Ravas Teraimis, Amar Rabbeleza ben Yaakov, Shochachti Maisa Meshameshes. I forgot what was the purpose of that Lishka. Avishal Oimer, Baya Noisun Yayim B'Shemen, that's where they kept the wine and the oil that they needed as ingredients for the menachas, and they needed oil for the menorah. V'yaisa Nishka, Nikras Lishka B'Shemenaya, it was called the Lishkas Beis Hashmonim. But what we see here is that who's the one that's speaking in this Mishnah? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Because the Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Shochachti, I forgot what it served. It seems to be that the Tan of this Mishnah was Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And now he's saying, I'm telling you how it looked and what it served. And I forgot this corner. So that's the indication, says the Gemara, that the Mishnayis are following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Says the Gemara, and Hachanami Mestabra, it makes much sense to say that the Mishnayis and Masech, the Midois, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he represent the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Tanan, the previous Mishnah, the Masech, the Midois, teaches us, Kolak Solom Shayasham, all of the walls that you had around the Azorah and all the other places on the Harabayas, Hayugvoyin, were very tall, chutz at least 20 amma tall, chutz mikaisel mizrachi. The wall around the Harabayas on the east side, that was the side through which they entered the Harabayas to get to the Chil and to the Zesnoshim, and from the Zesnoshim to the big Azara, that wall was lower. And the reason that wall was lower, says the Gemara, shakayin asarif is a para, the kain gadol, the kohen who would burn the Parah Adumah would stand Oymen Bahara Mishka, would stand on Hara Zesim, which is on the east side of Yerushalayim, which is on the east side of the Hara Bayis. That's where the kohen would shech the Parah Adumah, and then he would burn it. And he would need to see the opening of the Beis HaMikdash B'shas Habaz Hadam. Because the Pasuk, when it speaks about the procedure of the Parah Adumah, says Vehizo el noichach pnei oil moed, means that you have to be able to see into the heichel when you do the avoida of the Parah Adumah. Now, if the wall will be too tall, and of course we remember, and as we'll see this as we get deeper into the Gemara, Har Abayis was a mountain. So if the wall is going to be too tall, coupled with the incline of the mountain, the kohen who's standing on the top of the mountain of Har HaZesim will not be able to see directly into the Har HaBayis, into the Beis HaMikdash. But we just said that he has to see inside the Heichel. In order that he should be able to see inside the Heichel, says the Gemara, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov there in the Mishnah, they deliberately made the wall a little lower, less than 20 amos tall, and then he should be able to see inside. And be able to see inside the Heichel. When he explains the Brisk Rav, when he did the Zrika of the Parah Adumah. When he did the Shechita, explains the Brisk Rav, he has to do it in a place which is Noichach HaHeichel. It has to be to the east side of the Heichel, but the requirement that we're going to learn in our Gemara now, that he has to see into the Beis HaMikdash, wasn't there when he did the Shechita. That requirement, says the Brisk Rav, was only by the Zrika. So now we're going to explain why it couldn't be that tall, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Says the Gemara Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Tumah teaches us, Kol HaPsachim Shayusham, all entrances that we had on the Har HaBayis and the Beis HaMikdash, Goivan Asar Amma, were 20 Amas tall, V'rochvan Asar Amas, and 10 Amas wide. But Tanan, the Mishnah says, in describing what did it look like as we entered the Beis HaMikdash, on the east side, but Tanan, Lefnim Mimenu, from inside of the wall of the entrance on the east side, as we're walking towards the Beis HaMikdash, there was a place called the Soirig. And the Soirig was lattice work made out of pieces of wood that were woven together, that Vitanan Lefnim Imenu, and inside of that area was a chel, the area that's called the chel, that was Esa Amos, that was before we get to the Ezra's Noshim. There was Shteim Asr Malas HaYisham, as we said, it all was on an incline, so there were steps that you went from the chel into the Ezra's Noshim in order to be able to walk up the mountain. Each step was Rum Ma'al Chatzi Amma. The height was a half an Amma. The Shulcha and the thread of this step, the depth of the step was Chatzi Amma, a half an Amma. So the Ezra's Noshim was higher than the entrance of the Shara Mizrach by 6 Amas. The Mishnah over there also teaches us that Chamesh Esr Amos Oilem Mitoichai, when you're going from the Ezras Noshim to Ezras Yisrael, again, because we're walking up the mountain, so we have to have steps. They had 15 steps going from the Ezras Noshim. Those were the steps between the Ezras Yisrael and the Ezras Noshim. Each step there was Rum Mal Chatzi Amma, was half an Amma high. B'shulcha, and again, here too, the thread was a Chatzi Amma. So that's 7.5 Ammas. So we take the 6 Ammas that we already identified, plus these 7.5 Ammas. We have a total of 13.5 Ammas. V'tanan, Beina Ulam Lemizbeach, between the area of the Ulam, which was the area you walked into the Beis HaMikdash, and the Heichel, where the Beina Ulam Lemizbeach, between that area and the Mizbeach, there was Shteim Esrei Amma. It was an area of 12 Amas, Shteim Esrei Malos HaYisham, and there too there were 22 steps to go from the Ezra's Kohanim to the Ulam. Each step there too was Rum Malach Chatzi Amma v'Shulcha Chatzi Amma. So that means we have now another 6 Amas. So that gives us a total of 13.5 plus 6 is a total of 19.5 Amas. But Tanan, says the Gemara, there's another Mishnah there that says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Malach Hayis Hasham, that there was another step that you went from the Ezra's Yisrael to the Ezra's Kahanim, that step was Gevaya Amma, was an Amma tall. The Duchan, there was a place called the Duchan Nosan Aleah, that the Duchan was on that step, Boishal Shmalas, and it had three small steps, Chatzi Chatzi Amma, that the Levim would go up to the Duchan. Rashi explains that that's where the Levim would stand when they would sing. Other Rishonim say that that's where the Kahanim would stand when they said Birkus Kahanim. So we have here, E'am B'Shlom, so now the Gemara says, if we're going to say that the Mishnah over there is following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so now we understand that we have a total of 20.5 Amos, because we already had, as we counted before, 19.5 Amos. Now we added one more Amma, which gives us a total of 20.5 Amos. So it'll be two. The wall would block the vision of the, if the wall was 20 Amos tall, it would block the vision of the Kohen who was standing on top of the Haraba, who was standing on top of Harazesim, to not be able to see, Haina de Ichsle Pichsa, he wouldn't be able to see inside the Heichel. And that's why the Mishnah over there says that they made that wall lower, so the Kohen could see above the wall into the Heichel. Eli Amd Rabbanon, but if we're going to say that the Mishnayis and Masech the Midas follow the opinion of Rabbanon, Hikapalga the Amsa, there is a half Amma, we're not going to have 20.5 Amma, it's only going to be 19.5 Amma, because the Rabbanon don't agree that there is an extra Amma, the next extra step. And therefore, even if the entrance, the wall is 20 amas tall, it doesn't prevent the Kohen from being able to see inside. Alav Shmamino, it must be, that's how we have a raya that it follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That's how the Gemara wanted to establish that these Mishnayis follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Says the Gemara, even though, and this is the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara, being able to explain the Mishnayis, or saying that we have a raya that these Mishnayis follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, is a very good raya. But the Gemara here, as we said from the beginning of our shir, is trying to establish that we must say that the Mishnayis in Masechta Midos follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So now the Gemara is saying, we're not locked into saying that they follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We could say that they follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And even though we have the other raya that we had earlier, where Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Shochachti, which was an indication that it's a raya that it's following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Gemara is still attempting, say, the Mefarshim, to say, we want to establish that we must hold that the Mishnayos and Masechta the Midas follow Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it doesn't have to be that way. It could be Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omar, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov could say, how many Rabbi Yehuda he? That's following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who we're going to learn now, held that the way the Mizbeach was situated inside the Azara, it blocked totally the entrance into the of the Heichel, and it prevented you from seeing inside, and that's why you had to make a smaller wall to be able to look on top of the wall. The pshat that we're learning now is the pshat that Rashi quotes B'Shem Rabbeisov. It's the pshat that Tosfos learns in the Gemara. Rashi has a different pshat, and Rashi says that what Rav Adar Bar Hava actually is trying to do in this Gemara is go back to the beginning of the Shir, where we found the stira between the Mishnah Masechta Midas and the Mishnah Masechta Tamid, and it wants to introduce that Rabbi Yehuda is the Tana of the Mishnah Masechta Midas. But again, we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi learns B'Shem Rabbeisov, the way Tosfos learns the Gemara, that the question here is, why are you saying that the Mishnah's Masechta Midas have to be following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? I could show you that they could be following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Mizbeach was in the middle and prevented us from seeing inside. Where do we see this? The Tanya, the Braisa Masechta Zvachim, Daf Nun Ches Omebeis teaches us. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaMizbeach, when we speak about the Mizbeach HaChitzin, Memutza V'Omed Be'emza Azara, was actually right in the middle of the Azara. And when we learned Masechta Shkolim, we quoted the opinion of the Chasam Sofer that says that when we build a base of Knesses, it's absolutely essential that the Bima has to be in the middle of the Beis HaKnesses. And the Chasam Sofer says that where do we see this? We see this from the Mizbeach, that just like the Mizbeach was right in the middle, so too was right in the middle. The Kesem Mishnah says that the reason shuls typically had the bima in the middle of the shul was that everybody in the shul should be able to hear what's going on in the shul, but not that there's a reason that it has to be right in the middle. And therefore, according to the Kesem Mishnah, if you're able to hear in a shul, the way the shul is built, you could hear, everybody could hear what's going on the bima, even if the bima is not right in the middle, the Kesem Mishnah says that it doesn't have to be in the middle. And in fact, the Michas Yitzchak in Chel Gimel Simen Dalet says that even though we're learning that the Mizbeach HaChitzin was the middle, doesn't mean it was exactly in the middle of the whole area. And therefore, it's hard to say that the Mizbeach HaChitzin was exactly in the middle. Furthermore, the Mizbeach HaPnimi was one-third in. So we learned, when we learned Masech Tishkol in Perek Vav Halacha Gimel, there's a discussion, what does that mean? It was one-third of the entire area of the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because if we combine the area of the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's a total of 60 Amos, and the Mizbeach was 20 Amos, so it's not in the middle. It was 20 Amos into the Kodesh. So we explained that it's only 20 Amos of the entire area. But if we look at the area of the Kodesh alone was 40 Amos long. The Mizbeach was at the 20 Amos spot, so it was right in the middle. The Shalos Tshuvos Imrei Eish, Eir Chaim Simon Zion, says that it's not clear which Mizbeach was supposed to try to copy, but the Api Kabbalah, there's a reason that the Mizbeach has to be in the middle of the area, and since it has to be in the middle of the area, that's why Api Kabbalah. And in fact, Shimon Sofer, who was the son of the Chasam Sofer, and who was the Rav of Krakow, says that the city of Papa sent them an invitation to be the Rav in their city. And he declines the invitation to become the Rav of that city, and because the Bima wasn't exactly in the middle of the shul. And he says, based on what his father taught us, the halach is that the bima must be exactly in the middle of the shul. And if the bima is not in the middle of the shul, he can't be the rav of that shul. So going back to understanding the opinion of Yehuda, Rav Yehuda Omer Mizbeach Memutzva Oimed Beemtza Azara. The Mizbeach was in the middle of the Azara. Shloishim V'shtayim Amos Hayulah. The dimensions of the Mizbeach from north to south was 32 Amos. Eser Amos, the middle 10 Amos of these 32 Amos were connected Pischa Shel Heichel, were directly facing the entrance of the Heichel. And then you had Achas Amos, that's 10 of the 32. Achas Amos Letzofen, with another 11 were to the north side of the entrance of the Heichel. V'Achas Amma Ledarim, and the other 11 Amos were to the south side of the entrance to the Heichel. Nimtza Mizbeach, but the Mizbeach itself was facing Mechuvat Kenegar Keichel V'Kaisolov. You had a total of 11 plus 5 to the north, 16 of the 32 Amos, and 11 plus 12 to the south, a total of 32 Amos, which was wider than the entire entranceway to the Ulam and to the Ulam and to the Heichel. And that's why, as we learned, that it was blocked by the Mizbeach. And since it was blocked by the Mizbeach, that's why we had to make a low wall, and you could see above everything. The person standing on the mountain on Harazesim, seeing above that wall, could be able to see inside the Heichel when he did the Avodah. Ask the Gemara, Visal Kedatech, if we're going to say, says as Rav Adabar Ahava wants to suggest, that Masech de Midas is following the opinion of Yehudihi. Ask the Gemara, Mizbeach Be'emtza Azara Mi Mishkach Slei, can we say that the Mizbeach Hachitzen was exactly in the middle? But Tanan, the Mishnah Masech de Midas says, Kol Azara, the entire Azara that was Ha'orech Mei V'Shmein V'Sheva, it was a length of 187 from Mizrach to Mariv, Aroich Mei V'Shlosh V'Chamesh, by a width of 135 Amma from Tzofim to Dorim. Says the Gemara, when we start doing the allocation, min Mizrach L'Mariv, we just said, from east to west was Mei V'Shmein V'Sheva, 187. This is how the 187 are divided. Makom Drisus Rach Yisrael, the place where the Yisraelim may stand, was Achas Asri Amos. The first 11 Amma on the east side is the Ezras Yisrael, where Yisraelim may stand. Makom Drisus Ragel Kahanim, as we start moving towards the west side, the place where Kahanim stood was Achas Amma, 11 Amma. So we have 22 Ammas accounted for. The Mizbeach Hachitzen was 32 Ammas. So now we have 54 Ammas accounted for. The area being Ulam L'Mizbeach, between the corridor, the hallway, the Ulam, which was the entranceway to the Heichel, and the area of the Mizbeach, there was empty space, was Esr V'Shtayim, is 22 Amos. So we have a total of 76 Amos accounted for. The Heichel itself, which is the included the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, took up Meya Amma, took up 100 Amma. The way to divide it was the Kosel of the Ulam was 5 Amos. The Ulam was 11 Amma. The Kosel of the Heichel Mizrachi was 6 Amma. The Heichel itself was 40 Amos. The Mechitza that separated the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20. That was an Amma. The Kodesh HaKadoshim itself was 20 Amma. The wall all the way in the back of the Beis Hamikdash on the west side was 6 Amma. And then there were chambers that took up 6 Ammas. And then the wall behind the chambers were 5 Ammas, a total of 100 Amma. If we take all of everything that we've been discussing, we now have 176 Ammas accounted for. And then there were Achas Asri Amma, Achuri Beis HaKapiris, another 11 Ammas behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to give us a total, as we've been saying, of 187 Amma. That is when we go from east to west. Menadarim Letzofen, if we want to go from south to north, we said that the width was Mei V'Shlosh V'Chamesh, 135 Ammas. Hakeves Mazbeach, if we put together the ramp that we go up to the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach itself was a total Shishivishtaim. It took up 62 Amos. Because as we said earlier, the Mizbeach itself took up 32 Amma, and the ramp took up 30 Amos. So that's a total of 62 Amos. Now we need to account for another 73 Amos. Minizbeach ad Taboz. There were rings that were put into the floor of the Azara, where they used to shecht the animal, and that's where they used to place the neck of the animal. And since certain kabbonis, kachikachim, have to be brought specifically on the north side of the Mizbeach, so they put those rings on the north side, they took up Shmaina Amos. They took up a total of 8 Amos. So we have left 65 Amos. Makim at the, so from the Mizbeach till the Tabas was 8 Amos. The Makim at Tabas, the place of the Tabas himself, took up 24 Amos. Min at Tabas l'shulchanos, they had marble tables that on those tables they used to place the animals after they were slaughtered to wash them and clean them, took up arba, took up 4 Amos. Min ha-shulchanos l'nanosim, they had like small pillars that were on, that were attached to the floor of the Azara, that on them they hung the animals after they shechted them and cleaned them to be able to strip the skin of the animal off. That took up 4 Amos. So we're left with an open space of 29 Amos. Min ha-nosim l'kais l'azara, from these pillars that we had in the Ananosim that we just spoke until the northern wall was Shmoyna Amos, Vamariser, and the other leftover Amos that have not been accounted for, which are a total of 21 Amos, they were Benakevis Lemzbeach, Benakevis Lekaisel. That was the space that was between the ramp and the southern wall, and Makam Nanosim. And also what we haven't spoken about is the actual space that these nanosim took up. Now, it makes the Gemara's point. If we're going to say that the Mishnayis and Masechta Midas, Rabbi Yehudahi, represent the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Mizbech b'emtza azar mi'mishkach slo, it doesn't make sense to say that the Mizbech was right in the middle of the Azara, blocking the entire entranceway to the Beis HaMikdash. Because the way we just did this, Haruva the Mizbeach, actually most of the Mizbeach, given that we had all these other areas that we just identified that were all on the north side of the Azara, we couldn't have the Mizbeach that much into the north side. If we start looking at all these things that we had on that north side, we're going to have so much area taken up. And if the entire width of the Azara is only, as we said, 135 Amos wide, so if we divide 135 into 2, we're going to have 67 and a half. But we don't have enough room on the 67 and a half Amos on the north side for the Mizbeach to take up half of the width of the Mizbeach, because half of 32, because so much of that area was already accounted for the other plots. So if the Mishnah Masechta the Midas says that the Mizbeach, that this is the way the Azara looked when we speak about the width, it can't be following the opinion of Yehuda that places the Mizbeach straight in the middle and the Mizbeach blocking entirely the entranceway to the Heichal and the Beis HaMikdash. El Av Shmamina, we go back to the way we started the Shir, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakovhi, we have to say that the Mishnayis Masechta the Midas follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And we're going to have to say that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't hold that the Mizbeach was right in the middle of the Azara, like Rabbi Yehuda held. And therefore, those Mishnayis in Masechta Midas that don't seem to teach that the Mizbeach was right in the middle will be able to follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Shmamina, and will be able to come to the conclusion that all of the Mishnayis in Masechta Midas, as we wanted to start this year with today, proving that all the Mishnayis in Masechta Midas followed the opinion of Elazar ben Yaakov, Shmamina, we've been able to prove that very effectively, that that's the halacha, that that's the way to understand Masechta Midas.